Yes.
Okay. Cool. So, help me welcome Grisha.
Good morning, everybody. Grisha, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Grisha.
Many of you I know, some of you I don't. Welcome to the newcomers. Glad you're here. It was actually it was this time of year that I came into the program in 1998. I just celebrated my 18th year of abstinence on the 22nd yesterday. So, really grateful for that, and I came into the program just a few days or maybe a week before that, and learned what abstinence was and got it, and been grateful to have it ever since. And I don't usually prepare for shares. I just kind of speak with whatever comes out, and my sponsor a long time ago said, you know, when the speaker prayer is just God move my lips, see what comes out, and hopefully I have something useful. And I guess since it's the first month and everyone's talking about step one, I thought I'd just read this part that's really important to me from the OA 12 and 12, which is most of us have tried to deny to ourselves that we have this disease. In OA, we are encouraged to take a good look at our compulsive eating, obesity, and the self-destructive things that we have done to avoid obesity, the dieting, starving, over-exercising, or purging. Once we honestly examine our histories, we can deny it no longer. Our eating and our attitudes toward food are not normal. We have this disease. And I definitely have that disease, which I'll talk about first in a second. And then also right now I'm working step 12 with a sponsor, and I'm probably just trying to weave into my share some of the stuff that came up, but also read from step 12 in the OA 12 and 12. We who have worked the first 11 steps of Overeaters Anonymous program have had a spiritual awakening, and we now have a message of hope to carry to other compulsive overeaters. And it says, we have experienced the miracle of physical, emotional, and spiritual healing, just as we were promised when we began these steps. So for newcomers, if you start working the steps, you have this promise of physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. I certainly have had that. It's been, you know, had so many great gifts from this program. So just thinking about the first step and finally admitting powerlessness over food, I mean, I was a morbidly obese person. My top weight was 300, over 300, like 320. And I was obese for most of my young adult life until I came into OA. In fact, I have some, I always carry my pictures, the before and after. And I just, all I did was obsess about food. I just, if I was eating, I was consumed with guilt and shame that I was eating because I needed to lose weight. And if I was not eating, all I could think was, man, I wish I was eating. And I started at an early age using food to calm down, to feel happier, to feel better. You know, a bunch of stuff happened as a young kid. Like, I'm one of six kids, and I had a really close relationship with my siblings, but one at a time they moved away as they got married, had kids. And then my father got really sick. He was a prisoner of war in World War II, and he got exposed to nasty stuff and got some strange illness that lasted for many years until he finally died. And so he was in and out of the hospital, lots of ambulances arriving and things like that, and a mother who was really, really seriously negative, but doing her best. But I had a really hard relationship with her. It wasn't until I turned 40 and I realized that at that age my mom had six children, one was a newborn, and she was working full-time, and she had a husband who was a regular daily alcoholic drinker. Man, no wonder she was cranky. You know, I couldn't imagine it. I can't imagine now, you know, like how she did it. So I did a lot of healing work around her, with her, and around that relationship in the program. And so anyway, powerlessness for me is just obvious. It's like I start eating certain foods and I can't stop, and I don't want to stop. And actually, I do. Often I want to stop and I just can't, you know, like I just... can't stop shoveling it in, that I'm just an addict that way. And so when I first came into OA, I was 12-stepped into OA by someone in another program, because I'm in two other programs. And I knew the 12 steps. I'd worked them for 8 years at the time, and I thought I had a lot of success with step work. It's actually how I moved to San Francisco from Washington, D.C., turned my life around in many ways and did all this new stuff, and all through the support of the step of the steps in the program and working with sponsors and things. It really changed my life. But I couldn't kick the food thing. It was just, I had tried all the commercial diets, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystems, Weight Watchers, Atkins diet, grapefruit diet, soup diet, cigarette diet, speed diet, cocaine diet, fat-free diet, you know, like everything, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. And it was always that thing of like, let me just do this, get down to my goal weight, and then it'll all be okay, and I can start eating again, which doesn't, it just doesn't make any sense unless you're a compulsive eater. Then it makes perfect sense. So anyway, I got 12-stepped into OA, and this guy took me to my first meeting, the Lifeboat meeting in San Francisco, and it was in January of 1998. I don't remember exactly what day or how soon after that I got abstinent, but I have written down my abstinence date when I started my first food plan. And it's, you know, I admitted I was powerless over food, that there was, for me, there are certain foods I can't eat. If I start, if I eat one bite of it, it's over. It's, I'm a goner. It's usually not the case with vegetables or things like that. It's usually other foods. So my food plan today is I don't eat sugar or flour or grains, no matter what. I eat three meals a day, and I weigh and measure my protein and vegetables. And it works for me. I had, my first food plan was not this, the food plan I'm on now. I mean, the first food plan was no sugar and three meals a day, and I thought that would be easy. It was not easy. I was able to do it with the support of OA and working the steps, and it, you know, OA and the steps completely changed my relationship with food. I no longer have the food obsession. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. I don't obsess about it. I could almost safely say that abstinence for me is easy today. It's like, it's kind of like just, it's just in me now. You know, there's food I don't eat. And for me, that was the best way for me to stay abstinent, was to actually take the foods that trigger me and just cut them out completely. And just one day at a time, like an alcoholic doesn't pick up vodka, this compulsive eater does not pick up, you know, sugar or flour or different things like that. And I came to believe in the program that the disease model, some people struggle with that. I've had sponsees are like, I don't know if this is a disease. It's like, well, to me, it's obvious because I didn't cause it. You know, I can't control it. I can't cure it. It's just like this thing that lives in me where if I eat certain things, I can't stop. It's insane. I'm like on the death, I'm on the death path, the death march, you know, if I do this, but yet, I just can't control it. So, I believe that it's a disease. I believe that, I suffered from a long time without treating the disease. And then when I finally started treating the disease, I got relief. And, I think of in the same way that an alcoholic has to drink liquid beverages, but none that have alcohol, I'm a compulsive eater who has to eat food, but none that contain certain substances like sugar and flour for me. Not for everyone, but that's how I do it. And I feel like if I do that, then I trigger the obsession. I send myself right back into hell. And so I have to ask myself one day at a time, one meal at a time, what my choice is going to be. Do I want to take back my will, which is to eat and shovel in everything under the sun, or do I want to turn it over and just eat my food plan one more meal and enjoy the relief that I've been given from the obsession. So that's my step one thing. And then step 12, I'm working on with my sponsor, and I've for years just struggled with the whole concept of higher power. I mean, I share that, like, I was raised Catholic. My mom was a devout Catholic. She made us go to church every Sunday, but then she didn't go. She would stay home and watch it on TV and send us with my father. And we'd go to church, and I didn't relate to it. I didn't understand it. Sometimes my dad would say, well, we'd go to his favorite bar, the King's Parlor Inn, and he'd drink with his friends at the bar, and me and my niece who went to church with me, we would play pinball and eat potato chips and listen to the jukebox, and then we'd go home and say that we had gone to church, you know, which to me was like, we're clouding things up here. So anyway, I struggled with the idea, the concept of God and higher power, but I also learned in 12-step recovery, like, you just have to relax. Like, it's not a big deal. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be anything. And what I've really discovered is that there's a higher power in the rooms, that there's some magic that happens here. I've done things under the influence of OA and 12-step programs that I could never do on my own. I didn't have the power to do it myself, so therefore there is a higher power. It's whatever happens, whatever magic happens in these rooms. And so, but I've also, I don't give up. I take action. You know, like, if I find myself, I wish I could see a burning bush. There's none out there now. But I haven't so far. But I have seen a lot of miracles through 12-step work. You know, I've seen people's lives who were shattered. And they came in and worked the steps, and their lives were turned around. Some, like, real miracle stuff. Myself included. Like, I never thought I'd be in a normal-sized body. I never thought I would not be obsessed on a daily and hourly and moment-to-moment basis with food, and I've just been free from it for years and years. Having had a spiritual awakening, so I've looked up in the dictionary, which is what a sponsor taught me how to do, the terms, and spiritual, basically, if you take it in a simple form, is non-physical. It's like whatever happens in humans, our soul, our thinking, our, you know, the energy in us, whatever, it's a spiritual thing, it's not physical. And then the awakening part is you wake up. You renewed interest, I think, was one of the definitions. And I thought, well, that's what happened to me. Like, I came into OA and I woke up to, like, what I was doing with food. I was destroying myself, and I couldn't stop. I woke up, and I realized that. I mean, I knew it on some level. I mean, I was a compulsive eater from pre-teen. I was, you know, shoveling food to kill pain. And so I knew I had a terrible relationship with food. I knew I was fat. I was the fat kid in school. My nickname in junior high school was Porky. The movie had come out, Porky. And so my friends started calling me Porky. And I took it on thinking it was cute and funny. But really, it was another source of shame and humility. And so I knew I was fat. I knew I had this, you know, disease. I didn't know what it was. I didn't think of it as a disease at the time, but I knew I had this problem with food, and I never thought it would go away. But I woke up somehow. I got 12-step. I woke up. I came into OA, and I got a renewed interest in this whole thing, you know, and I had an awakening. There's a friend in OA who always says, like, when you come into your first OA meeting, the window has just opened. The door has just opened. Don't slam it shut. Like, go in, go through the window, and, you know, be led and, you know, work, in other words, like, work the steps and be in the program of recovery, and miracles happen. So that's, you know, that's kind of what I just do. The other part of the 12 step is practicing these principles in all our affairs. I mean, basically what I'm always trying to do and on a day-to-day basis is stay awake, be awake to what's happening in my life, feel the feelings, not anesthetize with food or drugs or other kind of substances, but work the steps. Like, I had a sponsor in another program who said, the answer to all your problems is in the big book. And so I found that to be true. Whatever's going on in my life, if I work the steps around the issue, things inevitably get better. It's not always super easy. I mean, some of the ways I've worked the steps, first around drugs and alcohol, that was really difficult in the beginning, but I don't, you know, I've been clean and sober for 26 years. I'm someone who always, always hated their job. I just hated going to work every day. I just pray for snow days when I'd live back east. Like, this would have been great, no work for a few days. But, you know, I had to work the steps around that, go back to school. It took me 19 years to get my undergrad degree. Like, I just kept starting and stopping and starting and stopping. And then I went back to school. I was working in finance, and the stock market crashed. Lehman Brothers went kaput, and I got laid off with a severance package. And I took that money and went, got my teaching credential, and now I'm a teacher. And now I have the hardest job I ever loved. Relationships. I chose a sponsor at the time who was married and had this really beautiful relationship with her husband. And I, you know, I wanted that. And I worked the steps around sex and love and relationships, and ended up meeting someone who was just an amazing person. And we shared almost 7 years together. And we separated a couple of years ago. But it was just more proof that, like, whatever I worked the steps around, like, that magic happens in all my affairs. And, you know, it just works. It really does work. But it is work. You know, it's like, for me, step work means going to meetings, having a sponsor, reading the literature, writing about it, sharing it with other people, you know, just constantly having it as part of my life. And I've gone through phases where I stopped going to meetings as much, or I didn't have a sponsor, and it's almost guaranteed that soon after I became more insane, more dissatisfied with life, more cuckoo birds. And the minute I pick the steps back up and get on track with my sponsor and start working, the happier I am. So I've really just, I guess my closing message is just, like, 12-step recovery is a way of life. It's a great way of life. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It's not the most glamorous thing in the world. The more I accept it and embrace it, the better my life is. It's kind of like, just, I have to just accept. Just like it says, like, if we just look at the evidence, like, I have this disease. It's really silly to try to argue against it. And so then once you accept it, you know, you need the treatment. And the treatment for me is OA. And as long as I'm in treatment under the 12 steps, then life is constantly improving. It's kind of like, I hope my 401k does. You know, it's up and down, up and down, up and down. But by the end, I hope it's up. Right. And, compared to where it was. So I'll close with that. Thank you.